Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hi there, I'm Zach Braff.
And I'm Donald Faison.
We're real-life best friends, but we met playing fake-life best friends, Turk and JD, on the sitcom Scrubs.
20 years later, we've decided to rewatch the series one episode at a time and put our memories into a podcast you can listen to at home.
We're going
to
get all our special guest friends like Sarah Chalk, John C. McGinley, Neil Flynn, Judy Reyes.
Show creator Bill Lawrence, editors, writers, and even prop masters will tell us about what inspired the series and how we became a family.
You can listen to the podcast Fake Doctors, Real Friends with Zach and Donald on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. Happy 2019. Welcome back to another awesome year of 100 Words or Less, the podcast. I'm saying it's awesome, okay? Other people have told me it's awesome. Please, trust me, it's awesome. My mom says, I'm just kidding. Anyways, thank you very much for tuning in to this, or downloading. That's a more appropriate term for a podcast. To this this broadcast that we got going on. We've been doing this for 334 episodes. Unbelievable. And today's guest is another unbelievable guest. He's actually a repeat offender and a friend of mine, Matt Pryor from the Get Up Kids. He also plays in an incredible band called Radar State, who is releasing a record this very Friday called Strays, and it is on Wiretap Records, and I love it so much. If you like anything that Matt Pryor's ever done, you will absolutely love this particular record. Go to wiretaprecords.com. You'll be able to pre-order it there. Well, pre-order it, I mean, you know, it comes out on Friday, so you better get to it. The most limited color of vinyl is sold out, so boom. But the record's really, really good. Please check it out. Trust me, it's a good one. But yeah, Matt came back on the show. He wanted to, and I said, absolutely. I would love to hang out and dig in a little deeper with you on some stuff. And I actually got to talk to him about business stuff in relation to Get Up Kids, which is fun, because I wasn't able to do that at all the first time that we spoke. I hope that you have gone to rockabilia.com because they're back for another year. I love it so much because I love their company. And what they do is they sell high quality band merch. You name it, they got it. Long sleeves, hoodies, whatever it is that you want to clothe your body with, they have it of your favorite band, okay? They have 500,000 items, all high quality stuff that's officially licensed. They pay royalties to the bands, and that is a very, very good thing, because if you buy it off Amazon or eBay or anything like that, dude, it's a nightmare, okay? you were getting low quality stuff and the bands don't get paid for it. Okay. So rockabilly.com is the place to go and use the code PC Jabberjaw that gets you 10% off your entire order. Okay. PC Jabberjaw. That's the word PC, or not the word, the letter PC Jabberjaw. Okay. Do that. It will get you 10% off. And I'll outfit you with some great band merch. Okay. It's essentially me kind of, you know, giving you a free band t-shirt. That's maybe if you buy like $100 worth of stuff, which, you know, I've done that before. So anyways, thank you very much, Rockabilia. I love you. And I love you too. I'm pointing at you because, you know, I've had a very interesting past couple of weeks. You know, took last week off, obviously. I, you know, told everybody that. So there was no, hey, where's the episode this week? Which was good. I'm glad you listened. But yeah, like it's work has been super stressful and it's been like highs and lows where it's like I was on vacation and had a lot of fun stuff going on, you know, in Orlando with my family, hanging out at Disney World and all that stuff. But then there was also some stressful stuff at work. And I think the best thing that you can do whenever you're going through stressful moments, stressful things in your life is reach out. You have people that care about you. You have people that can offer you advice. And in my head, I'm always like, What do I even ask this person? Like, it's not like they're going to give me some like solution that's going to take me out of this. But in talking to a friend yesterday, I was able to not only feel a little bit better about my situation and scenario, but I was kind of like, oh yeah, I'm not alone in this. Like, it's okay. Everybody struggles. Everybody is not this image of being a hero and having everything together, because we all have our faults. We all fall very short of whatever image it is that we were trying to portray. So I know this is a little like, you know, kind of off topic in a way, but I think you need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded of that. And I think as you get older, you confront that in so many different ways. And, you know, in my 20s, I might not have even thought about this because it was just like, dude, everything's fine, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you start to, you know, run into real life stuff and really, you know, your actions definitely have consequences. So, but anyways, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I'm just saying reach out to people. Okay. That is very, very helpful. And reach out to me if you want to, if you're struggling with whatever it is that you're struggling with, 100wordspodcast@gmail.com. I'm here for you as much as I possibly can be. So anyways, Matt Pryor, great chat, dove into some fun stuff. And I don't want to talk anymore. So here he is. And I will tell you who next week's guest is. And at the end of this episode, let me just tell you, it's a white whale. Okay. So don't just drop it off when I'm saying goodbye to Matt. Okay. I always talk about next week's guest at the very end of the episode. So that's what we got. And here's Matt.
About it too. I just remember because it was like, why are we going west in June? I said, we gotta go. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, so it's 110 degrees and we're playing in Las Vegas. Real smart routing.
Hey, why would you route around the weather, Matt?
When Dan and I did that acoustic tour and we routed everything seasonally, it was like we didn't have any problems at all. So we go to Florida in February. You know, we don't go to the East Coast until April. It was great. Yeah, it's like that rarely seems to happen. Like right now, they're like, so when the record comes out, maybe you guys should go south first. And I'm like, in July? Like, we're going to go to Florida? When the Ghetto Kids record comes out, not the Radar State record.
Right.
I'm going to lock my dog up. Hang on a second.
No problem.
One of my dogs. She's a barker. And she'll just keep doing it. And then, of course, we have lots of like Amazon packages showing up at all time of day because I don't like Christmas shopping, so I do it all online.
Yep.
Anywho, Observatory in June.
Yes,
that was a hot one.
It was pretty hot. It was manageable, but it definitely it was a fun show though. This is something interesting I was going to bring up later, but it feels appropriate to bring it up now where they, you know, cause that tour, obviously you know, you guys were going deeper into your catalog of songs, so to speak, but there, you know, and there were people who I was there with who hadn't seen you since like, you know, whatever, like Coos Cafe days. And it's like, which
nice,
you know, ancient history. And
yeah, yeah.
And you know, so, and when you guys,
that is officially the day. Yeah. As in back in the,
yes, that's firmly planted in the day. There, you know, like when you guys played, you know, new songs off the EP, people were kind of like, oh, like what's this song? It's like, oh, that's, it's off their new EP. And it's like, it's so funny how, you know, when you become insular to like the music world, and then you realize that people dip in and out, where it's like, oh yeah, people don't pay attention to the last like 10 years of like releasing music or whatever. And then when they dip back in, they're like, oh, this band's still doing stuff, like new stuff. Interesting.
Yeah. That I'm cognizant of that. It bothers me when people say it to my face. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, right.
Like,
right.
When it's just like I'm completely aware that it exists, but no matter how many times, like, or it'll be like, if someone, has heard of my band in like in town. I live in a small town, fairly small town. Like, and they're like, oh yeah, I used to see you guys like in the night. Like, you guys still do stuff? And I'm like, yeah, man.
Still doing it, dude.
Can I get my groceries now? Please do stop talking about this.
Right. Yeah, like, yes.
But I can't, you know, it's not fair for me to expect people to like be on the journey the whole time, which is the kind of fun thing that we're at right now with Get Up Kids, is like trying to be like, oh, actually you might like this now if you check it out. You know what I mean? Like if you grew up on us in, you know, high school and college off our first two records and you listen to that new EP, you might, and then our new record that comes out next year and the Radar State record for that matter. It's like, yep, you might actually dig it. Like we're not, it's a little bit more, on brand.
you guys are like, hey, here's the experimental record that could lose us half of our fan base that we need to put out, because every band
we did that for 20 years,
right?
and then now they're coming back around to be like, oh, you know what we do really well? Like anthemic pop punk song.
Yeah, hey, how about we lean into this?
Yeah.
That is funny when you know, I think much of that comes from just the ability to have perspective on.
Oh, like, totally.
Oh, it's like, yeah, we do this well. Like, how about we just continue to do this? And obviously if people still show up, then that's a thing. And that will be, you know, our ability to, you know, be creative and have fun through these vehicles.
Yeah. It's an interesting balancing act, because you want, on the one hand, you want to be like, it's like trying to stay true to form, but still trying to challenge yourself as an artist. You know what I mean? Like it's sometimes those things can be kind of mutually exclusive. So you have to sort of find what that balance is of like, I didn't want our new record that we just finished to be something you're at home about part two, but I wanted it to be the records that the guys who made Something to Write Home About would make with 20 years more experience. You know what I mean?
Right. So Something to Write Home adjacent.
No.
No. But I understand. Yeah. It's like the, through the prism of an older person that, has the ability to look at the music more, deliberately rather than just like, you know, pure reactions the whole time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, like, in theory, you get better at a craft the more that you do it. And it's sort of like when you're, you know, you have success kind of like right out of the gate by doing something that's just very, like, raw. And you just don't even know what you're doing, really. Then, you know, it's a journey, right? It's all a journey.
Absolutely. And you don't know where it'll take you. The, kind of on that same notion, the idea of, you know, all of the, you know, projects and bands that you exist in currently, to me, it seems like a much more, I guess, manageable way to live your life, not only because, you know, it's on your own terms where, you know, you can record and release music. I wouldn't go so far as to say like at your leisure, but enough to where it's like, yeah, we're going to spend, you know, 300 days out of the year on tour. I presume
not doing that.
No.
That's right. A lot of days.
Right. But I presume that it feels like you're in a much healthier place as far as that's concerned. And then the fact that you can, you know, exist as a father in real life with your family and have all that, experience as well.
Yeah. Yes. That's true. Now it's the thing that's trying to figure out now is like, okay, New Ghetto Kids record is going to come out in like May of next year. It's like, okay, we're going to do a world tour, but we're going to spread it out. So it's like, let's go everywhere over the course of the year, but do it like 3 weeks on, a month off or something like that. You know what I mean? Not just be like, you know, oh, we're going on tour for 2 years.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Let's like pile that, it on top of each other.
I think, you know, gotta keep hustling. It's like, try to work smarter, not harder. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and you can have that. Yeah. Cause that's exactly how, Thrice tours, where it's like, you know, they're just like, oh yeah, we'll do, you know, the longest we'll be out is like 5 weeks. That's like their rule.
God, that's a long time.
You know what
I would love to get to the point is doing like what we played a weekend with the Descendants last year. And it's just like, yeah, they just fly out on Thursday, play Friday, Saturday, like every other weekend. And I'm like, that's the dream. You know what I mean? Like,
that's true. Yeah. Just, well, you have to exist for another 10 or 15 years and then you can get to that spot.
There you go. Either that, or I want to turn Lawrence, Kansas into like emo Las Vegas, where we have like a theater here and we just perform here and people come from all over the world to hear so that I can just go home every night.
Right. Here's a Ghetto Kids residency.
Yeah.
which I'm sure obviously so many bands do this where they're doing multiple nights at the same city, but that just, you know, that goes against what we were just talking about of, you know, having to be out for only 3 weeks. It's like, yeah, you could do like the West Coast like that, but that's a lot.
Yeah. It can be done. You have to like find that balance between like, you know, to be completely honest, I think it's a balance between like profit and mental health. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, if pretty much after about 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks, it really starts to like really be hard on you. Well, I'll just speak for myself, I guess, be really hard on me, like mentally and emotionally and physically, because you don't get enough sleep. And so I would rather make a little less money and go out in 2-3 week chunks than make a little more money and go out for 6 solid weeks and then not like feel, and kind of make myself mad, you know, drive myself mad.
Right. And it's something interesting that I'm sure that you guys have had to, you know, kind of reconcile and discuss and, you know, kind of figure it out amongst each other. And obviously with Andrew, your booking agent, where, you know, because clearly when bands, you know, come back, they're able to, you know, command a premium price for their shows because of, you know, they're playing festivals or, you know,
and then
the idea of like, okay, well, we want to continue to, you know, tour occasionally, so we can't just be that band that's going to charge like, you know, 3x of what we normally would get paid for a venue like this in order to like,
well,
yeah, well, go ahead. You're on it.
Oh yeah. Well, no, this is something we've discussed quite at length actually, because, you know, we're very much past the reunion show kind of cash grab phase of our career. Cause I mean, we actually, as of this year, been reunited as a band for as long as we were before we broke up. So, you know what I mean? Like, we've been a band for 23 years. We were a band for 10, broke up for 3, and been a band for another 10. And so we don't have any expectations of like, oh, people are going to come. Like, it's like the people who are coming to see us now are like people who are like pretty hardcore fans, or, you know, when we're playing in cities that we haven't played at in 10 years, then people will come out. But, you know, you can't keep going back to that. Well, so then it's this thing of like, well, how do you then reinvigorate people, you know? And this is all like stuff we talked to the label about, stuff we talked to Ellis about, and our management, and just like, because it is like we're past that kind of initial like, oh, they got back together, like, kind of hump, you know what I mean? And now it's like, okay, so how do you maintain this as like a career? Because you can't just keep going like, well,
yeah,
once every 3 years we'll get a weird festival. Like that one that was on the lot of the observatory.
Yeah, that when we were young, I remember that, yeah.
Which I would have, like, it wasn't a bad festival. It was just like, when we were young just sounds so, like, derivative of like, that's not what I want to go for. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. Right. It's kind of like, hey, look at these old guys playing these songs. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, I really want to like find a way to like absolutely celebrate that time and those.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different things that stress us out, right? Like maybe it's something really, really small, like, man, that parking space, it's always taken. And I wish that I would be able to like get it instead of, you know, this person that maybe, you know, is the most courteous and considerate. I know that's something very random, but it's true. We all experience different things throughout the day that trigger us in so many different ways. And there are many times where I have been like, I wish that I had a spot or a repository for me to, you know, get this stuff off of my chest. Because if you bottle it up, that is no bueno. And then all of a sudden you explode on a coworker or a friend or a family member being like, the parking spot. And people are like, what are you talking about? That is where therapy comes in. And I love working with BetterHelp because I'm a huge advocate for therapy, broadly speaking. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, please give BetterHelp a try. It is so easy because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you are not vibing with the therapist for any reason, you can switch it out at no additional charge. Get things off of your chest with BetterHelp. So visit betterhelp.com/Ray today to get 10% off of your first month. That's betterhelp.com/Ray.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Songs and but then to also like move forward, you know, like I'm still like, we are still like very creative people making like music that we really, really like. And it's just like, I don't know. It's an interesting balance to try and strike.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to be this like, you know, cliche, because it's like you turn it into the cliche of like a bar band, you know. It's like, oh dude, we're, you know, this cover band that like blows the roof off our local joint on Friday and Saturday nights. And it's like, you know, bands that come from our world, like, don't, you know, maybe some people want to be like that, but I mean most people are like, I don't know.
In a world where everyone is confined to their homes, society begins its largest bin watch to date. In the hallowed library of Hulu, or perhaps on a shelf of DVDs you haven't looked at in a decade, is a show that perfectly encapsulates life in the early aughts and launched a friendship that would inspire millions. Hi, I'm Zach Braff.
And I'm Donald Faison.
In 2001, we starred in Scrubs.
a sitcom that revealed a glimpse of what it was like to survive a medical internship. As Turk and JD, we explored guy love.
Nearly 20 years later, a lot has changed. We're not supermen, but we're still best friends. Given the mandatory lockdown, there's no better time to relive the series that brought us together in the first place. And we're doing it with a podcast.
That's right, people. We're going to bring friends and crew members and fellow cast members and writers. And guess what? We're going to even invite some of you to call into the podcast and ask all the questions you want of the entire Sacred Heart staff.
Join us for Fake Doctors, Real Friends on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, that's a hustle. That's a gig. I'm not going to fault anybody for wanting to make a living, but like it wouldn't make me like it wouldn't make me feel like fulfilled. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't. There are plenty of things that I do in my job that I are part of the job, or you know what I mean. That like, but like the part that really gets me going is the creative part of it, just like writing the songs. And so, if I was just doing the oldie circuit of you know the what are we? Second wave? The second wave emo oldie circuit. Like it would be a little, it would be disheartening. But then at the same time, you don't want to come across as being like, oh, I don't want any part of that. Cause that's not what I'm saying either.
Right.
It's just like, I don't want that to be, oh, hey, remember when you were 20? That's like the best thing you ever did and the only important time in your life. It's yep. just like, what? Well, that sucks.
Right. Totally. Remember that touchdown pass you threw in the high school football
yeah.
game?
Yeah. You know, I don't want to be Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite. You know what I mean? We're just like,
yeah. Yeah. Hey guys, you got this record. Do you listen to this one? I put this
yeah,
out.
Yeah. I just carry some copies of Southern Right Home About with me wherever I go. Whenever.
Right.
It's like people who bring their own headshots places. Do people still do that? Or is that like more of an 80s thing?
I think that may be a relic of the past, but the notion, the notion still lands.
Yeah.
The kind of jumping around to a few different topics, one of them being, as I was perusing all of the, you know, interviews you kind of done over the past, whatever, year and a half, so many people have kind of come at you, in a positive way, being like, oh, your daughter's in a band. And I just, mm-hmm. I love the fact that it's like the, you know, they're called LK Ultra, correct?
Yeah.
And I love the fact that it's like clearly, you know, there was a, Chicago band called MK Ultra. And like, did you physically step in with your daughter and be like, yo, you should probably change the name because of this? Like, did you do that first? Or was that something that was like organically discovered online?
Well, they started in a girls rock like camp that happens here where they like take teenage, girls and they do this camp for a week and they put bands together. And so that was the name of their girls rock band was MK Ultra. Cause they were obsessed with Stranger Things. And so they, you know, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then, so they played one show and then they were like, oh, let's keep playing. And then at that point it's like, well, if you're going to actually play shows, you probably should change your name. Cause it's not just the band from Chicago. There's like seven yeah. or eight bands that have been called MK Ultra over the years.
Yeah.
It's the band from the '70s.
Oh, and, okay.
But it was like, they were resistant. You know, if they're teenagers, you know, it's just like, nah, it doesn't matter. And then like,
yeah,
they tried to kind of get shit for it. And I was just like, I'm telling you, you're going to have to change the name. Eventually it's easier to do before people know who you are than it is after they, so, you know, Lawrence, Kansas, LK Ultra, it still works. And now
it does.
They don't even remember, they don't even care. It's like, it's so old. That was like a year ago, Dad.
Yeah. It's like,
dude. But I didn't just tell her. I told all, cause they rehearse in my garage. I have like a little rehearsal space in my kind of office in my garage. And so they're always over here. I'm just like, you guys shouldn't do that.
That's yeah. No, I love that because it's not like I just reflect on the, you know, the journey of, you know, being a kid and then being a parent and then the idea that like, you know, a parent would know the, you know, the politically active hardcore band from Chicago. It's just like, oh yeah, like obviously our parents would never be like, hey Matt, I think there's a band already called the Get Up Kids.
Yeah. Well, or things like I really pushed, because like her generation, those kids, they're not interested in learning how to drive. I don't know if you know this. This is like a phenomenon of like teenagers now. It's like they have no interest in learning how to drive. And so I was like, we basically were like really pushing our daughter to learn how to drive. So I was like, I'm sick of driving you to your fucking gigs. I'm not like, I'm not your chauffeur. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, you need to, and I was thinking about it. I was like, my parents never took me to a show. I mean, I started playing shows when I was 15. I just had older friends who had cars. You know what I mean? Like,
of course.
But, I don't know. It's just one of those things. They're figuring it out.
Yeah.
They're goofballs.
Yeah. Well, yeah, as most kids are, but I mean, the growing, interest that I have in that idea of you having the experience as the parent, and then being able to, I mean, it's not like obviously your kid is going, you know, your kid will listen to you to a certain extent, but like you said, you know, teenagers will not care about most of what you say. But just the fact that it's like, you know, a child would have a resource to go to in regards to like, hey dad, what was it like to like play in a band and like that sort of stuff. And you know, I imagine most of the time, like those questions maybe don't bubble up as often as they should.
No, they, I mean, they're around and they're talking, they don't really ask my opinion, but like, if I hear something, I'll be like, oh, well, there's a, this and that and the other, or like,
yeah,
like they got paid with a check. And I was like, do you guys have a bank account? And they're like, huh? And I'm like, well, then that's just a worthless piece of paper then. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Did they ask you to sign a W-9? No, they didn't. Oh, okay. Well, then you're okay.
there's things like that where it's just kind of like, because, you know, I have no interest in like pushing my kids to like necessarily like be something that I want them to be. I don't want to be like a stage parent or anything like that. But at the same time, it's like, it'd be silly for them to not use me as some kind of a resource. And then, you know, all the parents.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially when you have a parent that like has experience, because I think that's when, you know, when your parent becomes a more real human being and not just this, you know, person that tells you to do things and not do things, is when they, you know, they can actually lend not only their ear, but their experience. And like, oh yes, I did this thing. And you're kind of like, oh, you're a real human, like rather than just this other person they've shared space with for a while.
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty close. Me and the kids, like we talk a lot. So
it's awesome.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing to observe, especially cause like her band now is getting into like, they're putting on their own shows at like a VFW hall type space. And it's just like, okay, I can definitely help you with that one. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's like, does this place actually have a PA? If not, you need to get a PA, and you need to have somebody working the door, and all that kind of that fun jazz. They've got a cool like scene going on here. There's actually a lot of, I mean, there's always a good music scene in Lawrence, just because it's a college town and it's always had a lot of good music in it. But now there's like a scene of like an under 21 scene, a proper like teenage like punk rock music scene here. And I love that.
Yeah.
That's what I grew up with.
Yeah. It's super cool. And especially to feel like that, watching through the lens of, you know, your daughter, where it's just like, oh, this is exciting, not only for me, but it's exciting to watch you contribute to this thing. That's like, you know, was important, mm-hmm. was important to me and still important to me. It's just, yeah, that's exciting. There's a few things from a business perspective that, you know, I kind of want to dig in. You don't have to, you know, get specific. I'm not asking you numbers or anything like that, but,
you want to see my tax return?
Yeah. If you don't mind. Yeah.
No. Okay.
But when you're getting, you know, your royalty checks, streaming checks for your music, you know, is there something that, you know, kind of surprises you over time where it's like, you know, obviously once, I mean, this was, you know, many, many years ago where the physical medium, you know, CDs started to die and streaming became a thing. And then, you know, now obviously the resurgence of vinyl and stuff like that. But is there something that kind of, you know, surprised you as you started to notice trends where it's like, not even so much like, oh, wow, like I'm making more money off of Spotify or whatever, but just kind of like the, oh, wow, like this thing has changed and it surprised me in this fashion.
I mean, it's been, for me, it's been a couple of years that I've really started, like, I've actually been like kind of making a conscious decision to like pay more attention to like online, the online aspect of being a musician. The thing that comes to mind, Jim is really into Spotify plays. He's always like at band practice, like talking about Spotify plays. Right. And I just have no, I'm just like, is that good? Like, I'm just like, I don't care. But so we did this kind of like, for a long time, we had never gone to South America ever until last year. And for a long time, it's like, anytime we would post, hey, we're playing in LA, it's like, come to Chile, come to Brazil. And like, okay. And then you get on like Spotify and you look at that like metadata and it's like, a huge part of our listening audience is in South America, like way more than I thought it was. Cause you know, they don't really buy records down there. So like, you know, it was just one of those like, oh, okay, well then we need to go there. And you know, because we're a 20 plus year old band who had never been to the market before, like promoters were, you know, not exactly sure how it would do, you know, cause it's like, oh yeah, I love the band, but like, I don't want to like offer you a ton of money. So like, okay, we'll go down there for a week. And as long as we can break even, mm-hmm. you know, then cause we just got to see if this is a thing, you know what I mean? And we played to like 1,100 people in Sao Paulo and we had never been there before.
That's amazing.
And people were freaking out. Like it was great. And so now it's like, okay, so let's look at this even more. And like, we learned recently that 20% of our merchandise, our online store, ships to Japan. And we're like, really? 20%?
Right.
And so it's just one of those things where just like, okay, so let's start. Cause you know, when we still kind of come from a time, at least maybe not when we first started out, but by the time we started working with Vagrant, where it was just like, okay, you guys got this. We're going to write songs and play shows and then you guys handle everything else. And now it's kind of like, oh, we should, you know, be more like more in tune to like that kind of stuff to a certain degree. I don't want to be like,
yeah. Like you're turning it into a data mining company or whatever. Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you could, if you wanted to.
Totally.
Like, but, you know, I have to want to have some sort of like organic, feel to it. But yeah, so like I don't know, like I don't pay enough attention to like where things stream. I do know now our royalties that we get from with BMG, now they bought Vagrant.
Yep.
It'll do it by territory, so it'll be like, why do we have so many listeners in like Afghanistan? It's like, oh, because there's a military base. You know, or there's like military guys there and they can listen to Spotify or whatever. It's like, oh, okay. So there's Americans over there. So that's why we listen. Cause I don't think a lot of Afghans or Afghanis are listening to our band, but I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, you could be.
Who knows?
Maybe they're really into, you know, sentimental, emotional songs over there.
Yeah. You never know.
Yeah. You know,
stranger shits happen.
It's very true. Yeah, you have no idea. But I like that example of what you're talking about, where, you know, using these insights that did not exist before to be able to, you know, be directional about your approach to the band and be like, well, yeah, ultimately, we just want to play good shows for people. Like,
oh, I thought of another one that
Hit me.
That, and this is less about streaming and more about like just regional specificity. When we released Something You're at Home About, it had bonus tracks in different territories. So like the Japanese version of it had two bonus tracks on it. The Europe.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Version of it had two different bonus tracks on it, and so it's like, and usually bonus tracks are kind of like, you know, they're not throwaways, but they're more like deep cuts, and it's like, why do they love this deep cut in Germany so much? It's like, oh, because it was on your most popular record over there. It's just kind of one of those like, right.
There's a reason that that territory loves that song or whatever. Yeah.
Or like the only place that On a Wire really like kind of maintained the same momentum as Southern at Home About was in Japan. And I don't know why, but so like they still know those songs, like, you know, that those songs are more popular there.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. No, it's super fun to be not only to like observe that, but like experience it and be like, oh yes, like this is what we can get out of this experience. This will not only make it more fun for the crowd, it'll make it more fun for us or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's just, it's a really, really cool experience.
Well, and I mean, those are all sorts of like, I mean, they're kind of pseudo business decisions at this point. Cause it's just like, what's going to make the best vibe. And it's like, okay, let's go. Like when the record comes out, let's go play, you know, a small club. Like we played the Casbah over the summer in San Diego and it was awesome. And it was just like, yeah, I mean, we don't have to play House of Blues. You know what I mean? Like, let's go play the punk club.
Totally. Play the 300 cap room. That'll just be, super, super fun.
Oh God, they were drunk.
Oh, dude, that is the Casbah for you. No matter what, if you go there for any sort of a Rockin' from the Crypt affiliated band, mm-hmm. I mean, holy moly, it's just like, yeah, you're surprised anybody's standing at the end of the night.
Hi, I'm Esther Dean, and I'm excited to welcome you to a brand new season of Songland and Songland's podcast. We have an amazing roster of talent this season. I promise you, you don't want to miss one single episode. Don't miss Songland, Monday nights at 10, 9 Central on NBC. And join us here on Songland's podcast, available every week after the show on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was comparable.
That's like, so good. kind of on that same note, something that I find interesting when, you know, bands, have to make that sort of, this sounds dramatic, but that fork in the road decision where it's like, you know, you're choosing tours and like two of the guys are like, yo, this sucks, we don't want to do this. And then everybody else is like, no, this makes sense for reasons A, B, and C. You know, do you have any of those kind of moments that you, and it does, you don't have to like air dirty laundry or anything, but I just find those moments, you know, insightful where, you know, especially when you're like looking at it in retrospect where it's like, I can't even believe that this was like a huge point of contention that we were discussing. And it's like, you know, not only irrelevant now, but you know, very meaningless.
As far as tours go, it's rarely like we're usually pretty close to being on the same page, if not on the same page. I guess if like hindsight being 2020, there's some things that would have been like, well, that would have been probably a good move, I guess, long term. But at the same time, like making all the decisions that we did make kind of brings us to where we are now. And I like where we are now. So like a lot of those things that are like, woulda, coulda, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, it just gets kind of like, yeah, but that's just not.
Yeah. That's part of the process.
That's not really a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just, whatever. And having discussions with other, like, I remember, I had Aaron Harris, the drummer of ISIS, which, you know, they now can't call themselves that, but, you know,
yeah, he, I know.
Totally. He was talking about how they had some, like, you know, Slipknot offered them a tour, but you know, that was like, you know, it would have been whatever, like 40 dates around the, you know, world playing in arenas. And like, they turned it down because they were like, oh yeah, like this just doesn't, you know, most of the band disagreed with it, you know? And it's like, I just find those little moments where it's like, it's not like a right or wrong decision if you said yes or no, but just that the process of having that discussion, I find so interesting because it either offers up a snapshot of that particular time that, you know, many people don't get that picture painted where it's like, you know, whatever you say today where it's like, oh dude, you want to go on tour with Slipknot? Like Get Up Kids are a bad example, but most bands would be like, of course, if you're like remotely heavy, everybody would say yes to it. Whereas like back then it's like, oh, it needs to be, we got to talk about that.
We've made decisions like that before.
Right.
that are comparable to that particular scenario. I mean, the big one for us was turning down the Blink-182 Green Day tour.
Oh,
back
right.
in the day.
That was like early 2000s. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Saves and Jimmy Eat World ended up doing it and got a lot out of it, but we were just like, not our bag.
Yeah. That's a perfect example of something where it's like, you know, having that discussion with everybody, you know, agent, management, everybody in the band and kind of like, you know, really wringing your hands about it, or you know, maybe it was not even that dramatic and it was like, no, it's just not our fit.
You know, these are things that come up, and it's like, and I think it's mostly tour stuff, but although sometimes it's like press kind of shit, or like, oh, like yeah. we've never, you know, like we've never been the kind of band that makes like, they call them like shout out videos, like, hey guys, come see it, you know what I mean? Like it's always been sort of like,
right.
And I'm just like, I don't want to do that. And, you know, I mean, you find what you're comfortable with and what you're not comfortable with. For me, it's kind of like, it's not just enough for it to be profitable. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't need a whole lot. You know what I mean? I need to make enough money to take care of me and my family. And other than that, I'm good. You know, and so I like, if it's just like, well, really, they're a really big band, and I'm like, yeah, but they cheesy, you know, or something like those kind of things come up. But to me, it's got to be like, at least, you know, it doesn't have to be like a perfect fit, but it needs to be something somewhat meaningful.
Right, right, yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah,
I don't know.
No, I completely understand what you're saying.
I don't want to get into a situation where I'm like talking shit on people, because no. That's not how I feel.
No. I think that anybody, especially when you're talking about it from your own perspective, it's like you're like, this is just a decision that is not for me. You can understand why other people would say, you know, yes to it or whatever, but you're like, that's not how I've lived my life. So yeah, I understand completely where you're coming from.
And you know, everybody on our team kind of gets that. You know what I mean? Like, so sometimes things come up and they're like, this would be really, this would be a good idea. And it was, you know, we're like, it's just, we're not feeling it. So we're going to go on, you know, our gut,
yep,
which is ultimately what has the final decision on anything.
Yeah, for sure. A few last things before I let you go. There's something that you said. Don't ask me where you said this or whatever, but I'm sure you know you've mentioned this on a few occasions. Where you know finding joy in the thing that you are doing. You know, whether it's playing in a band, whether it's whatever, being a mail carrier, whether it's just the process of doing the thing. I think that's something that a lot of people pay closer attention to as they get older, because they realize that that is where the happiness is derived from, where it's like, you're doing the thing that you're doing. Whereas notion of always looking at what other people have or what other people are doing and being like, oh, I want to do that thing. And then you're doing that thing and you're like, oh, but I want to do that thing. It's like, well, it's just a never ending well of that. Does that statement resonate with you, even more as you are, whatever you're doing, the radar state and you're doing all of these things that you are active in. And even, the decision for you, you're like, yeah, I don't want to do the podcast anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm sure all of them are kind of like at the core of it. That's the sort of question you ask yourself.
Yeah. And like, I discuss it with my wife, how I spend my time very much is, she's got a say in that, like a pretty big one. And right. So like we talk about that kind of stuff. And it's one of those, the thing about Radar State right now is that it's just a really fun, hang time with me and Jim and Josh and Adam. And it's really, the songs are fun and the hang time is fun, but I don't want to go on a world tour of Radar. You know what I mean? Like, it's just sort of like, this is like something to do for fun, not something to do for, a job. but with talking about really kind of putting effort back into the Getter Kids again, it's like, okay, well, if this is what I'm going to do, then I need to figure out what things in it make me happy and figure out what things in it make me miserable. And then also through just my own, even through therapy and meditation and stuff, just being like, yeah, I'm not going to get in that fight. You know what I mean? Cause you kind of get into this thing sometimes when you have five type A personalities in a band of everyone kind of wants to be in control. And there are certain things that I just don't care about. And so it's like, okay. And in the past, I think I probably would have tried to still control those things. And now if I just kind of like, you know what, I don't have a real strong preference about this. So I'm happy with that. That's fine. Like what you're suggesting. I definitely would not have done that in the past. You know what I mean? Like I would have. So yeah, I do think that you have to find, I loved doing the podcast. It was just, it took a lot of time and you do kind of a cost benefit analysis of it didn't make any money and it was taking up a lot of my time and it was taking time away from other things that I was doing that were either making me happy or making me money. So decided to if there was a way to do that again, that I to just do it for free and for fun and not actually have to book anybody. If it was somebody else did all the booking, then I would totally do that again. Right. I always thought it was really fun.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Cause that was one too. It was just what do you like about doing a podcast? I like talking to people. And what do you dislike about doing a podcast? I'm literally everything else. And it was just well, I guess that's probably not worth it. And you know what I mean? So
yeah, absolutely. I also love on the Radar State scenario. I mean, clearly that's been kicking around for a while. As far as you guys releasing and existing in the world. Every headline writes itself in regards to a new song coming out. It's just emo supergroup, and there's very rarely the attention that is paid to just be like, well, obviously these guys would play together. Like, they like each other. They've played in bands together. They've toured together. So, like, you know, it's much less, but of course, like, in order to get people to pay attention, you need to call it a supergroup.
That's just marketing, though. I mean, you know who else is a supergroup? It's Chickenfoot.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's, so I don't put a lot of stock in the term.
Totally. I always find it. I find it funny too. And I'm sure, like you said, you just, you're like, well, yeah, that's just the way for, you know, to get people to pay attention to it. Cause it's a super group, obviously. So,
it's a super group of guys,
super great guys. the last thing I want to hit on was you actually kind of mentioned this earlier where, you know, when you are out in your normal day-to-day life, as far as, you know, existing, going to, you know, PTA meetings and, you know, go to grocery shopping and all those other things. You know, I don't use this term as a pejorative, but like, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, people that don't have the same sort of, you know, subculture experience that we do, you know, like they're civilians. And I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but,
It is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know you'd understand, but I just find it interesting because I mean, I experience it. I know that you experience it too, where it's like people, you know, if like you've played a band, people, you know, attempt to either kind of relate back to it, ask the questions of like what it sounds like and all those fun kind of tropes you get into. You know, is it, I'm sure it's just kind of, you know, entertaining for you, for people, like you said, you'd either be like, oh, Matt, like you're still doing that thing, dude, like, oh, that's cute, or, you know, like not in a belittling way, but just like, oh, I didn't know, still kicking around or whatever. You know, how do those interactions kind of go for you?
I try to end the conversation as quickly as possible because it's one of those things where it's like I had a friend recently, and I don't think he was meaning to sound rude, but he came to one of our shows and we were hanging out and he was like, oh, so you guys are still doing this, huh? And I was like, yeah, we still fucking get to do this. Like we don't have to go work in an office. We still get to do this. Like it's kind of like you can say the same words and have like a different like tone to it. And I just get kind of annoyed, you know, but I don't think he meant to sound rude. It's just kind of something that like, oh yeah, being in a band, something you do when you're in your 20s, you know, and that's like, now you have to be a grown up. And I'm like, well, actually this is the only thing I'm qualified to do. So technically I'm being more of an adult by staying in this band.
Right.
And, so, you know, I don't think people are ill intentioned. I mean, sometimes journalists are, mm-hmm. but, I've never given a shit about that.
Right.
But like, so most people like they don't really even think about it. And sometimes they'll say something like that and they won't even realize that they're saying something that could be construed as insensitive to me. But so I take all that with, you know, large grains of salt and just let it go.
Right.
But I mean, after 23 years of people calling me emo, I've really learned to like let people just think what they think, you know, and like I don't have any control over what they want to, how they're going to perceive me. I can only like try to present myself in a way that I think is appropriate and that I'm happy with.
So. Right. Do you know, has the, you know, like when you have, you know, come through on tour or whatever, and, you know, played Lawrence or played the general vicinity, have like your, kids, friends, parents, like, you know, come to shows and like see you in a different, you know, see you playing, which is a clearly different light than, you know, what the morning drop off is or whatever. And I understand your kids, you know, like many of them, like you were mentioning earlier, you know, do online school. So there's a little bit less of that interaction, but like, have you had that experience? Go ahead.
Well, there's an interesting thing of, at least for me, of, just living in this town. And it's like, some people have heard of my band. Some people haven't. Some people have heard of the band because it's something people talk about in town. I've very much put off the vibe that I don't want to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't give a shit. it's part of what I do. But then like not this last summer, but the summer of 2017, we played this live event. We played a free show on the main street in Lawrence and like 6,000 people came out. And that was when all of a sudden all these people that I just know from regular life were like, oh, that was cool.
Right.
You know, like that was really fun. And like, and so that now I feel like they kind of like they get it. And I think if I was more arrogant about it, they would be almost but I'm just like, yeah, that was really cool. I don't know. So that's in a sense, I don't know. I guess in that scenario, I'm not as comfortable talking about myself, which is weird because I just talked about myself for like 40 years.
Yeah. Well, I think the interesting thread I was trying to pull on there is just the fact that, you know, people, when they see someone doing something that they are passionate about, like whether it's, you know, playing golf or whether it's playing in a band, you see a person in a different light because they're able to show something that they're passionate about, and not everybody gets to see that on a daily basis. And so I think that, you know, when you get to show that side of yourself and people recognize, like, because, you know, most people, it's like, yeah, when you're of a certain age and you're playing in a band, most people just imagine it's like, oh yeah, you're like, you're just hanging out with your friends, you know, drinking in a, you know, garage or whatever. But like when
sometimes you are,
but then like when you actually get up and play it, it's like, oh wow. Like that's like, it doesn't even matter about the crowd reaction, but just like people watching you do the thing. It's kind of like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's something that a lot of people can't relate to. You know what I mean?
That's
like
true.
As far as like, whether it's being on stage in any capacity, whether you're just a public speaker or a comedian or a preacher, you know what I mean? Like it, like, I think, isn't that like the number one biggest fear that we have is like public speaking? And I think I heard that somewhere. I don't know if it's true.
No, I think but, so. Definitely top 10 for sure.
So that aspect of it, like, oh, I could never do that. I could never go on a stage like that. That's weird enough. But then also just the concept of like, you know, being in a band is your job, you know, and that for them, it's like going to one of our shows is a night out. But for me, going to one of our shows is a night at the office.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's,
yep.
And so I don't want to be a stick in the mud. I don't want to be like, oh, I can't hang. But it's like I'm not, I have to get up in the morning and do this again tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like I can't like go buck wild every single night.
Yeah, totally.
It's a lot. Jim started saying it on stage. I used to just make jokes about it that we played We Got a Sitter Rock, which is just like, we got a sitter, you know. And but Jim will do this thing now where, like, if we come on for an encore, and Jim's always trying to get us to play more songs. He loves being on stage, and so he wants us to play longer. And so he'll be like, all right, you're going to have to pay the babysitter extra tonight. And it's a corny line, but it makes me laugh. It is. It's a lot of, you think about it, like coming, if you're an adult with kids and you're going to take the night off and you're going to buy two tickets, pay for a babysitter, you're probably going to make a whole night of it, you know, go out to eat and go buy merch and buy drinks. It starts to add up. People can't do it every single night. It's not like when we were, you know, in high school and college, where it's just like, yeah, I got $3. I could go to that show.
Totally. Yeah. This is a bare minimum $60 commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
And we're absolutely cognizant of that, because it's just like, and that's why it's just like, I don't care if there's 10 people here. There's 10 people who paid a lot of, you know, took time out of their life and paid money to come here. So these are going to be the most stoked 10 people in all of wherever we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally get that. Well, Matt, we did it again. I appreciate you letting me pick your brain in different ways. I always love hanging out and chatting with you.
Yeah, man.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you very much, Matt, for coming back on the show. Thank you, Wiretap Records, for putting out Radar State, which is an awesome record. Strays, it's called. Go to wiretaprecords.com and you will be able to get yourself a copy of that thing, because it's really, really good. And next week's guest, like I was teasing to you at the very beginning, is a white whale. John K. Samson from The Weaker Thans, and he was in Propagandhi as well. He is an amazing individual. I chased him for a while on email, and you know, he's saying he was never being mean to me. He was never being like, oh no, I don't want to do it. He's just like, oh, like, yeah, well, let's wait a little bit. My house is under repair. I want to do this when I'm, you know, in the right mental state. And then finally we synced it up and I had the chat and it was everything I wanted it to be and more. John was such a rad dude. It was awesome. So that's what we got next week. John K. Samson. I can't even believe I'm saying that. He's appearing on this podcast. Holy crap. Anyways, that's what we got. And until next week, as I always say, please be safe, everybody.
You've been listening to the Jabberjaw Podcast Network, jabberjawmedia.com. Shh.
I'm Bob Roth, host of the new podcast, Stay Calm. Meditation changed my life in college, and I've spent the last 50 years teaching people about the benefits of meditation, from celebrity clients to students in inner city schools. And now I'm sharing a lot of what I know straight to your ears in my new podcast. Join me every Monday through Friday morning. All you need is a few minutes and an open mind. Listen and subscribe to Stay Calm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Trust me in saying that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all of the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.